Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at a book that has been written by a Christian, a former Mormon, by the name of Dr. John Wallace. His bio on the back of the book, which is titled Starting at the Finish Line, says that John was an active member of the LDS Church for 2 decades, but in the last 20 years has come to see the beauty of simply being a follower of Jesus Christ. He tells his story in the book, how he came to be a Latter-day Saint, tells a little bit about some of the struggles he had while he was a Latter-day Saint, but the great majority of the book is focusing on trying to explain what the gospel of grace is really all about to the Latter-day Saint. This book is really written to Mormons. But there is a lot of information in it that certainly a Bible-believing Christian could learn from, and this is why we're talking about this book. If there's one book I think you should get that deals with the salvation issue, this would probably be a very good book to read, and when you're done with it, to give to your Latter-day Saint friend and ask them, hey, I just went through this book. I found it fascinating. Could you do me a favor? Could you read it? And here's what I do in situations like this. Could you read it and tell me where is it wrong? By placing the ball in their court like that, now in order for them to try and show you that there could be errors in it, they have to at least read it. And I think when they read this book, they're going to see that John really has his ducks in a row in how he presents this message. But what really attracted me to this book is the title. Starting at the Finish Line, he has a pull quote on page 111 that says, Christianity is the only religion that starts at the finish line. Salvation is guaranteed up front. Now that pull quote is on page 111, but he doesn't really explain where he got it until page 163, which is kind of odd. What does he say on page 163? It's the chapter 18, Abide in Me.
Yeah, Bill, he starts off the first paragraph there. He says, popular Bible teacher John Corzine once wrote, the Christian race is the only race in the world that begins at the finish line. We don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. The battle's already won. Jesus overcame. Most Latter-day Saints that I talk to have a difficult time accepting the notion that Christ already purchased our salvation and that we can only receive it by faith as a gift from God. Moreover, the concept of imputed righteousness, imputed from Christ to us, runs entirely counter to the Mormon mindset, a mindset predicated on proving one's worthiness to God through obedience and good works.
I think he nails it with that paragraph because I have found that to be absolutely true. When you're talking to a Latter-day Saint, the concept of Christ's imputed righteousness to the believer is usually something that is completely unknown to most Latter-day Saints. In fact, I can recall reading one time where the imputed righteousness of Christ is ever mentioned, and it was actually mentioned by Robert L. Millett in one of his books. I think it was Within Reach. And I have to say, even Dr. Millett got it wrong in the way he was explaining it. He was more explaining what we would understand to be the infusion of grace, where the believer is infused with grace, which gives him the ability to live the commandments. That's not imputation. What happens in imputation is when the sinner comes to faith that Christ died for his sins on the cross at Calvary and puts his trust completely in the finished work of Jesus in paying for those sins, paying the penalty for those sins. The righteousness of Christ is added to the account of that believer. It's imputed to him. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. And of course, what John is getting across here is that in Mormonism, it's all about the ability to prove yourself worthy to God. The burden is on you to accomplish all that is absolutely necessary in order to achieve the best Mormonism has for you.
one thing that's exciting about this book, Bill, is he covers some of his thought process as a Latter-day Saint. And as you and I know, when we do talk to somebody that has come out, there's always been kind of that moment sometimes that started that doubting. He talks about it on page 3. He says it started sometime during my junior year in high school, during a conversation I had with my beloved bishop, who was also his history teacher. He says that I had heard through the grapevine that as a Latter-day Saint, we believe that God the Father Elohim, was not always God, that he was once a man just like us. Further, I have been told that we mortals, if we were faithful to all the commandments and ordinances of the gospel as taught by the LDS Church, could one day become gods ourselves. Before that, he says, my other thought was, if this was really true, why would my parents not have shared this with me? A teaching of this magnitude? Impossible. He starts hearing this stuff. He goes to his bishop and he asks him the questions. He says, ordinarily a free and easygoing guy, he suddenly appeared uneasy and uncomfortable. A strange forced smile spread across his face. You're too young, John, to really be delving into these deeper doctrines, was his reply. One look from me told him that I was not going to let him off the hook that easily. My bishop took a deep breath, looked me straight in the eye, and said, yes, it is true. That is what Joseph Smith taught shortly before he was martyred, and that is what the church proclaims to this day.
You know, I've had those kind of moments with missionaries, where you have one young missionary flatly deny something that I have brought up in the course of the conversation, only to have the other missionary correct him.
Yes.
How many times have we seen that happen?
Yes.
And which shows that there is, even in the basic issues, a lot of ignorance among many Latter-day Saints. And I think one of the reasons for that is because a lot of Latter-day Saints, because they believe so strongly by this subjective feeling that they've received that tells them that Mormonism is true, many times don't feel a need to really do a lot of in-depth study as to what they believe to be true. So they don't do the study, we do, and when we ask them about some of the things that we've read, they first look at us kind of the way John looked at probably those that told him about, hey, God was not always God. What? Wait a minute, come on. So he's starting to have this crisis as early as in high school, and with many Latter-day Saints, it's not something that they will often get over very quickly. And sometimes it could take a lot of years of just mulling this over and trying to reconcile this. But in the meantime, they're still Mormons.
Right.
And they're probably still defending it.
They might put it on the shelf, but the bookshelf is still right
there. Yeah, that bookshelf starts to get pretty heavy after a while. And it's when that bookshelf gets so heavy that the shelf breaks away from the wall, then that's when the Mormon finally says enough is enough. And unfortunately, by then, who knows what kind of damage has been done to them.
We'll go next into his kind of his primary reason for writing the book is the defense of the Bible as well. That's one of his main reasons. But in chapter 2, which is entitled She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not, he gives this great example from his own personal life so the readers can relate to it. And he basically talks about right before his senior year in high school, he took a summer job, as most of us do. He made $1,000 just extracting honey. He gets back to school, and everybody's usually, well, how much did you make? That kind of thing. He has a good friend that says he made $2,000, and it was making toilets. And this really bothered him.
Yeah, he says it was totally unacceptable to me.
Yes, he says, I did the only thing I could do in light of this very disturbing news. I lied. I began telling anyone and everyone that I had earned and saved $2,000. In fact, the lie started when on the very first day of school, he goes into this whole thing, and he just continues to say the lie over and over again. And with that, he transitions, basically saying in the middle of page 12, he says, Mormons do this with the Bible, a lie that is repeated over and over, namely that the Bible has been altered, contaminated, and not translated correctly, and it becomes their reality. He says, I'm not saying that any given Latter-day Saint knows he is lying. Rather, I'm saying that he is guilty of repeating a lie that in most cases was handed down to him. And that is exactly a little white lie. This matter of massive distortion of the truth that carries very serious consequences.
And you know, I have found that to be absolutely true with a lot of Latter-day Saints. they will naturally approach you when you start quoting what the Bible has to say. Well, how do we know if that's actually translated correctly? That's a good question, but my response question is, wait a minute, you believe James 1:5, don't you? Isn't that the verse Joseph Smith used? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Every Mormon believes that. I said, why do you believe that verse is true? Why would you naturally assume that James 1:5 is true? And whatever criteria you use to come to the conclusion that James 1:5 must be true, couldn't I use that same type of test or criteria to test all the other verses to see if they are true? And you ask the Latter-day Saint, have you done that? I'll guarantee you with 99.9% of them, they'll say no. They've never really taken the time to look into what the Bible is really all about. They are merely parroting what they have heard in their local ward. And I think he's absolutely right. They hear this, they repeat it over and over and over again to where they actually start believing the lie. And that's so unfortunate because many of them will believe that lie even after they've come to see that Mormonism isn't true. And they'll hold on to that lie even though they're going to use that lie to not even want to look at what the Bible has to say. Well, where did the lie originate? It originated with the church that you now found out is not true. So why are you holding on to that lie? Exactly. Get rid of it. Start looking. Start reading some good sources on the subject.
It even goes back even further than that, Bill. That's what Satan, he tempted Adam and Eve with it. It was like, did God really say that?
Right.
And it's all started there. It's like Satan's number one tool or one of us is to get anyone to doubt God's word. And that's, you start doubting God's word, then you can believe anything from that point on.
Absolutely. The book we're talking about is Starting at the Finish Line, written by a former Mormon by the name of John Wallace. It's a book that was actually written for Mormons, but as we've said, would be very good if you're a Christian wanting to better understand where your Mormon friends are coming from. It's available at the Utah Lighthouse Christian Bookstore. You can order it by mail if you can't get down to the store itself. And you can get there by going to utlm.org. But it's published by Pomona House Publishing, and I'm sure you could probably find it at your favorite Christian bookstore. Tomorrow, we're going to take another look at this book, Starting at the Finish Line by John B. Wallace.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to know more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, September 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 2, in Clearfield, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes teaching about the role of Mormon prophets, the Book of Abraham, the LDS doctrine of eternal progression, and what Mormon leaders have taught regarding exaltation and godhood. Now, while it is part two, you don't need to have attended the first part. It all takes place on September 6th at Calvary Chapel, Wasatch Front, which is located at 564 South and 800 East in Clearfield. A question and answer session will follow. If you'd like more information, simply go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. As always, we hope to see you there.